Good morning, Seedbed. It is such a delight to be with you again this Sunday morning. And as you know, we are making a journey through the Psalms. And today it brings us to Psalm 35. And Julie's going to tell us about a different kind of a different way we're going to approach this Psalm today.
That's right. You all are becoming seasoned Psalm singers now. So today we're going to switch it up a little bit and do a little creative approach to Psalm 35. We're going to be doing kind of the way that many of us grew up doing a responsive reading of the Psalms back and forth in church, which has been a tradition in the church for many centuries. So what we're going to do is go back and forth in a responsive way between singing and reading. And this will enable us to enter into the journey of singing the way that we've talked about being so important, but also for the anguish of David's spoken words to be heard at times, punctuated throughout that singing. So I will be singing portions and Tim will be reading portions, and we'll be going back and forth in that way as we work our way through the journey of Psalm 35.
Well, just to introduce you to this psalm, this is a psalm that we call a lament psalm, and this is a wonderful psalm, and there's a whole class of these psalms throughout the Psalter that you should be aware of, because it really is a blessing for us in our own way of approaching God in prayer. And the fact is, the psalms, this particular psalm is a psalm of David. It's a psalm of desperation. It's a desperation prayer in the face of his enemies. The psalms in general are not for the non-combatant. I mean, the psalms assumes that we are in conflict and our lives are challenging. And so if you didn't know this, that 125 of the 150 psalms make some reference to the enemies or the wicked. So this psalm is a lament about that. And ironically, it touches on things that everyone hearing our voice can relate to. Mm-hmm. This psalm goes through three cycles of lament, and we're going to be singing or reading through all three of these today. But the first lament cycle is in verse 1 to 8, where he basically is crying out to God that his enemies are plotting his ruin. Have you ever felt like somebody was just plotting against you? They just didn't want you to succeed? They're just working against you at every turn? Well, this is what David is experiencing, and we're being invited to enter into that experience and transfer that through lament into prayer to God. Mm. It's so easy to transfer it to bitterness, transfer it to unforgiveness, transfer it to anger, holding it inside. This is the way God planned for us to deal with these things, is to transfer it through prayer and through the use of lament. So the first cycle, 1 to 8, is people that are plotting your ruin. The second cycle is in verses 11 to 17, which refers to people who just slander us, who just absolutely speak ill of us without cause. And of course, we know that this is part of the experience of Jesus himself and part of David's experience. And I'm sure all of us can relate to this, where someone just slanders us and says things about us which are just not true. And it's just very, very hurtful at a deep level. And so David laments this. The third cycle of grief is found in verses 19 to 26, where people just gloat. Your enemies will mock you. They put you down, just behind your back, scorn, talking about you and scornfully refer to you. It's very, very hurtful. So these are three separate laments, and they really touch on so much of what we experience in our own lives. And this psalm is inviting us into a journey where we learn how to walk through painful situations in life where we face people who either plot our ruin or slandering us, or who put us down in various ways.
And you know, all of us have, as Peter calls him, the great enemy of our soul, who prowls around like a roaring lion. And he is out to get us. He is out for our ruin. And he uses forces in this world to do that. But this is also about our great enemy as well, and we can lament that before the Lord as well. So there's a lot going on in this psalm. We're going to use a tune that may not be very familiar to you. It's called Southwell. There's a beautiful hymn of the church to this tune called Lord Jesus, Think on Me. And if you don't know that hymn, I would recommend after this psalm, looking it up and just read the words of that beautiful hymn to this same tune. But I will begin with the first three verses to the tune of Southwell. Contend, O Lord, with those who do contend with me, and fight against all those who fight against me constantly. Take up your shield and spear. Arise, come to my aid. Meet those pursuing me and say, I am your salvation.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to continue reading this lament in verses 4 to 6. And just notice as we read this that in the Psalms, there's two ways that God deals with evil. One is through direct action, either now or finally in the final judgment. And secondly, in this psalm, this part touches on this, he sometimes doesn't act and he lets the seeds of evil kind of reap its own reward, as you might say, and people fall into the trap they've made. And so this is what he talks about in this part, 4 to 6. May those who seek my life be disgraced and put to shame. May those who plot my ruin be turned back in dismay. May they be like chaff before the wind, which when the angel of the Lord driving them away, may their path be dark and slippery with the angel of the Lord pursuing them.
Verses 7 to 10. And when David speaks about his bones, he's talking about his inmost soul, his whole being. It's a beautiful way of the anguish that goes so deep. Verses 7 to 10. Because they hid their net, dug pits without a cause, may nets they hid entangle them, in their pits let them fall. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord's salvation. My bones will say, who's like you, Lord? You save the poor from them.
We now go to 11 to 14, which we will read. And here, it's just it's as if he's already anticipating the Sermon on the Mount, where David talks about how the evil repay his good for evil. The wicked, you know, he does good to them, and they will put evil to him. But when they do evil to him, he returns it with good. He fasts and prays even for his enemies. And of course, we remember that wonderful passage in the Sermon on the Mount, which I think this psalm anticipates, where Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What a great, great word from our Lord. And this is what Paul, David talks about here in this passage.
11 to 14.
Ruthless witnesses come forward. They question me on things I know nothing about. They repay me evil for good and leave my soul forlorn. Yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. When my prayers returned to me unanswered, I went about mourning as though for my friend or brother. I bowed my head in grief as though weeping for my mother.
But then he tells about what they'd have done, verses 15 to 18. But when I fell, they came, attacked with slanderous glee. Like wicked, they with malice mocked and gnashed their teeth at me. How long will you look on? O Lord, come rescue me and save my life from ravages of lions who stalk me. Then I will give you thanks. Your praises I will sing, and in the congregation great exalting praise I'll bring.
Now this next passage part is 19 to 21. And this, of course, is a very, very important passage for Christians, because this is what brings us into the deeper, deeper realm of the psalm. At this point, we've talked about how we enter into David's experience and we can relate to David, who felt all of these attacks and problems and slanders, etc. But here, we finally realize the real pointer of this psalm, which is to Jesus Christ himself. And we enter into the experience of Jesus, because this is the psalm, this is the part of the psalm that Jesus himself quotes in John 5:21, 15. In John 15:25, Jesus quotes this psalm where he says, "They hated me without cause." So that means that Jesus himself identifies with this psalm. And so when we enter into periods where we feel slandered, or we feel misunderstood, or we feel put down, or we feel marginalized, we actually can enter into that as the experience of Jesus Christ himself. And therefore, we are brought into union with him, which is the whole point of the Christian life, is to enter into not just the blessings of the work of Christ in the life of the Christian, but also enter into his wounds.
Yes.
And that is, that's a deeper reality that is so powerful.
This is this great David's greater son.
Points to, absolutely.
Yes.
So let me read 19-21. "Let not those gloat over me who are my enemies without cause. Let not those who hate me without reason maliciously wink the eye. They do not speak peaceably, but devise false accusations against those who live quietly in the land. They gape at me and say, 'Aha, aha!' With our own eyes, we've seen it."
And then he says, "But you, Lord, you have seen. But you, O Lord, have seen. Don't be far off, O Lord. Awake and rise to my defense. Contend for me, my God."
And we have now this third cycle of lament, 24-26. This prayer, "Vindicate me in your righteousness, O Lord my God. Do not let them gloat over me. Do not let them say, 'Aha, just what we wanted,' or say, 'We have swallowed him up.' May all who gloat over my distress be put to shame and confusion. May all who exalt themselves over me be clothed with shame and disgrace."
And then we have the closing verses of the psalm, which point to and actually anticipate this wonderful victory that Christ himself has through the cross, through the crucifixion and the resurrection, where we have the vindication of righteousness. And so we're going to sing together these final two verses to a different tune. The tune of "This Is My Father's World" also fits the meter of this psalm. So we're going to close with that tune for verses 27 and 28. "May all who take delight that vindication's mine, may they with joy and gladness shout and say, 'The glory's thine.' The Lord delights as those his servants are made strong. My tongue will sing your righteousness and praises all day long."
Wow, what a wonderful track to lay. This psalm to prepare us and to help us through all kinds of even challenging experiences of life. The Lord bless you. May this day, may the true beauty of Christ shine upon each of you this day.
Yes, and may you sing of his righteousness all this day.
Amen. Amen.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.